Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about Shaheed Beheshti. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking about Shaheed Beheshti in order to talk about this great personality and this shining star from the school of thought of Imam Khomeini. We decided to humbly invite Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi. So we're going to go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sayyid Hashimi, welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Jazakallah. Thank you, Sayyid Hashimi, again, coming, taking time out from your busy schedule, joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. The Haft-e-Tir is the commemoration of this bombing which the MKO conducted. And in this bombing, many very pivotal figures of the Islamic Republic and the Islamic Revolution were martyred. Among those people, of course, was Shaheed Beheshti. We wanted to kind of talk a little bit about Shaheed Beheshti, you know, perhaps his background, things that are unique about this great martyr, especially when considering that Imam Khomeini, he said that Shaheed Beheshti yek millat bud, he was a nation, you know, talking about, his importance. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that as well. We hand it over to you in the name of
Thank
Allah.
Thank you very much. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام to you and to our brothers and sisters all over the world who are watching this show now. Shaheed Beheshti is one of the new generation of the students of the Islamic Hawza in Qom who really wanted a change, both in the society and in Hawza. after we encountered the new kind of conceptions in the world and the modern age, in about 150 years ago in Iran, this two kind of thoughts that they are collided in that time, the Western philosophy, the Western civilization, and Islamic school of thought, it was at first trembling for the Islamic school of thought, for the Muslim nations, not just Iran.
Right.
Because that was a civilization with power, with new order of the philosophy and epistemology and all those branches of knowledge, and with science and with all those powerful military. And they came to our region and somehow they invaded us. They were under the colonialism in India and other parts, especially after the First World War, after the falling of the Ottoman Empire. But the most important question in that time was this new era, this new age, this new conception, this new philosophy is presenting some new thoughts, new ways of life, new ways of thinking, new ways of talking about the religion, about the divinity, about the human beings, about the ethics, about the morality.
Sure.
And many of those thoughts and philosophies, they contradicted the pillars of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Interesting, yeah.
And in that time, there was a question for the Muslim thinkers, because that time was the time of the decline of Islamic civilization. We were deep under our problems.
Sure.
And the question was that, can we go and become like them and abandon our values? And maybe, inshallah, we become developed nations like them.
Yeah, affluent and wealthy. And
yes. With a society with order and everything in its place without those chaos and problems. But in the other hand, going to them, it required abandoning of our values.
Interesting. And the fundamental pillars of
fundamental
Islam.
Fundamental pillars of Islam. So we could leave Muslims, but individual Muslims. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to eradicate somehow Islam from our society. This question, this contradiction between the new kind of conceptions of the new world and the Islamic thoughts, it triggers some ideas in the minds of many thinkers in Islamic world. You have those people in Egypt, in Iraq, in India, in Pakistan, and in Iran. In Iran, we have some figures, some personalities, who tried so hard to answer this question and to somehow show that you can live in this modern life, you can live like a Muslim, and Islam is not a religion that has an expired time. You can say, oh, it's over, and we can now live without Islam. No, it was meant to be a live religion for every generation.
Sure.
One of those people who tried so hard to answer this question was Shahid Beheshti. And he thought that a modifying and a change in Hoza, in Islamic seminaries, and in our universities, and in our society, will lead us to that prosperous, spiritual kind of society. So he tried so hard, Shahid Beheshti. He tried so hard, alongside Shahid Mutahhari. He was a student of Allama Tabatabai, and especially Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh. And, you know, when I talk about these figures, it's so important for brothers and sisters to understand that, like Shahid Mutahhari, Shahid Beheshti, Imam Khomeini, and more importantly, Imam Khomeini and Allama Tabatabai, they were, you know, we have to imagine ourselves in that time. They were in a position in time and space and place that, you know, they were always told that you cannot do that with the religion. Islam is not capable of being in the center of the society in this modern age. Islam is very good. They would say Islam is good. Islam is a very good religion. But it was a monument from the past.
It wasn't practically being implemented, especially in some of the sensitive things like politics or philosophy or epistemology, excuse me, as you had said, or the different societal issues. This is very interesting, discussion
and
going on.
And they would say that Islam is not capable.
It's not capable.
It is not possible. We are facing a new world. Islam belongs to the
past
world. It's not about the new world. So it was a very big challenge for them. Even until now, we know that all those thinkers who tried to give an explanation, an interpretation of Islam that is in line with today's life. In line doesn't mean that it's for this kind of modern philosophy. No,
they
can live in this life, even with defying and challenging all those modern values. It was always a big challenge for the thinkers. We have Sayyid Qutb in Egypt. We have Abu al-Ala al-Mawdudi in Iraq. We had like Iqbal in Pakistan, Jawaharlal al-Nehru in India. All those people, some Muslims, some of others are not Muslims, they're just Eastern people who were confronting the new Western civilization. They had this challenge. Imam Khomeini with his students, they tried so hard to give this explanation. And that is important. We always hear about Shahid Mutahhari in his books, but he wasn't alone. Right. Shahid Beheshti himself was a key figure in presenting a Islam that can be understood in the modern age. He went back again to Quran, into narration, into Islamic philosophy, and he has so many books here, and his books are so interesting. And is not well known even until now because people are not so familiar with his works. But he tried so hard to do this in Iran. He started to establish a madrasa in Qom, Islamic seminary in Qom called Haqqani, which is one of the most progressive Islamic seminaries in the history of Hoza, of the modern Hoza. They had different kind of curriculum, the different kind of maybe books, different kind of methods of education. They would, give people and the students that they would study English language, they would study physics, mathematics, and things like that. And Shahid Beheshti, by that, he tried to somehow revive the Islamic, the pillars of Islamic civilization in Qom, and train and raise some students to do so. And we see after the Islamic Revolution, many of the key positions in the revolution was taken by those people who were graduated from the Haqqani
school. Yeah. Interesting.
It is Haqqani because of the name Shahid Haqqani. So Shahid Beheshti was so active, and he wasn't just active in Iran. He went to Europe for the education and for tabligh. He was in Hamburg in Germany, and it is so, and there are so many stories about his presence in Germany, in Hamburg, in that famous Islamic center of the Hamburg. And then he tried so hard. He could speak German, he could speak English, he could speak Spanish, speak Farsi and Arabic. You know, he was somehow...
He could speak all these languages.
He has all these languages. He was a really perfect man, For Islamic scholar in that time, it was something unusual.
Even now it's unusual.
Even until now,
I speak three or four, and Shahid Beheshti is speaking five or six.
Yeah. But what is important is, Shahid Beheshti was so influential and so important in the triumph of Islamic revolution. But we can see his role, more importantly, after the victory of the Islamic revolution.
Right.
Because after the victory of Islamic revolution, we needed an eloquent person who knows the pillars of Islam, knows the Mabani, okay?
Interesting.
And who is able to talk with the university society, the society of the university,
academic society,
different parts of people who can justify the path of the revolution, a path of the Islamic Republic, which was a very difficult job because there were so many rivals there.
Sure.
The Marxists, liberals, other people, nationalists, they were all of them, they thought that they have a share here in the Islamic revolution, and they would talk to people. Shahid Beheshti was always present there. There are, I'm sure, there is no English translation for that, but he has some debates with the prominent Marxists and communists in the TV after the Islamic Revolution. And those are so, you know, interesting. If for the brothers and sisters who know Farsi, that is so interesting to watch those, the series of debates. Ayatollah Misbah is there, other people, some famous Marxists and communists are there. But more importantly, Shahid Mutahhari's role can be seen in the writing of the Constitution of Islamic Republic.
Shahid Beheshti's role.
Shahid Beheshti. In the writing of the Constitution. Because this was the first time that we were going to write such a thing. In the time of the Mashruta, in the time of the Qajari dynasty, we had some kind of that, some kind of Qanun Asasi, as we say in Farsi constitution. But this kind of constitution, based on the vote of people and with all of those things that they wanted to take care of, it was so difficult.
Yeah, these are all monumental tasks. I mean, it seems like every area that Shahid Beheshti and this, you know, group of revolutionaries embarked upon, all of it was really monumental tasks.
Yes,
I mean, Imam Khomeini's task was—I mean, it was monumental.
And unusual.
And you know,
especially for the Islamic
and
scholars.
And so here you have this individual who is coming up with—you have an Islamic Republic, you have an Islamic Revolution, you have a constitution. Yeah. You have to bring in all of the different philosophical worldview, and then all the Islamic Quranic. I mean, really monumental. Please continue.
Yeah. And there are so many important people in on that, you know, parliament of the writing of, because it was a it was an election in the country, and people could choose whoever they want.
So you had different types of
even
people.
Even Marxists, different people.
In the beginning,
if they had enough votes, they could go to that parliament, to that gathering. And
to make all these people agree
was very difficult. So hard. And in that gathering and in that majlis, as I say, they were going to write all the articles of the Islamic Republic's constitution. And Shahid Mutahhari's role was remarkable.
This means that we have to do a talk show on Shahid Mutahhari. Yeah. That's what's happening. Yeah.
It's Shahid Beheshti, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Shahid Beheshti's role here is remarkable because Shahid Mutahhari is absent here.
Right.
Shahid Mutahhari was martyred in the March, I think. I'm not familiar with those.
Calendar.
The beginning of the 1979, it was the victory of the Islamic Revolution. After that, 2-3 months after that, Shahid Mutahhari got martyred. And after that, we had that election and that parliament. So you don't have Shahid Mutahhari.
Interesting. Look, Shahid Mutahhari, what a loss.
Yes, Shahid Mutahhari was so important for Imam Khomeini, for everyone. He like had the final word.
Yeah.
But with his absence, Shahid Beheshti's role was more significant and remarkable. Mm. And he did this.
Mashallah.
In that majlis, in that parliament, he tried so hard to defend the Islamic articles, Islamic principles to be in this constitution.
Mm. And to give it an Islamic identity.
Yes, give it
and with Hoviyat those, Islamic.
Yeah, with that. And it was full of debates. Because people, some of them, they would disagree with some of the articles, would agree. And, you know, people gave their blood, their life for Islam. And Shahid Mutahhari was there, Shahid Beheshti was there to defend this kind of, you know, Islam is you know, somehow, you know, as you said, Islamic identity of the Islamic Republic. And one of the most important articles of our constitution was the Asli Velayat-e Faqih, the article number 110. And Shahid Beheshti defended so hard to put that article into the constitution. And there are so amazing and beautiful debates between him and those who oppose him and oppose this idea of role of faqih in the governance. And Shahid Beheshti there is really amazing in what he's like a, you know, he's an Islamic scholar, okay?
Yes, yeah.
And he was raised in Hosa, but he was like a modern congressman there and defending his idea through all over other ideas. Mm. And he was defending, that is so important. This is what we need to be able to. Because it wasn't like a member. Yes, I say this must be in the you be silent. I will do that. No, every single person of that parliament, they were representatives of people, and they had equal rights of voting. Okay, so Shahid Beheshti in that time was so important, and after that he was the head of the judiciary system of the Islamic Republic.
Another monumental task.
Yes. And for the first time.
It's really amazing the amount of, you know, barakah and blessings and, you know, that these individuals had. Yes. Yeah, it's just really amazing.
And he was in the same time the head of the Islamic Republic party. You know, in the beginning of the revolution, we have different parties. One of them was called Hizb-e Jumhuriyye Islami. It is not the Islamic Republic itself. Mm. This was a party consisted from Shahid Beheshti, Imam Khamenei, Ayatollah Rafsanjani and other people like them. And there, one of other, as you said, monumental works of him was they had a book, Mawazi'ema, Our Stances, What We Believe. There, it is one of our brightest and most, you know, detailed manifestations of the Islamic society in the modern life, Mawazi'ema. There, he started to teach every page of this Mawazi'ema. And you can find the videos of his teaching of this book. Shahid Beheshti was great. Mm. He was great for Imam Khomeini. And because he was so influential and so beneficial for the Islamic revolution, he was always under the threat and under the attacks. Mm. They would blame him. They would
They would say some pretty nasty things about
nasty
him.
Things, yeah,
yeah. Like, so
they even
they would say like Markbar Beheshti and
openly,
things, death to
openly,
Beheshti,
yes.
And that's really, I mean, it's
with the presidency of Bani
Sadr,
they were openly insulting Shahid Beheshti in open and public gatherings.
It just shows you, you know, in one of the talk shows, you had very eloquently spoken about how sometimes in order to sacrifice for the greater good, one of the sacrifices is reputation.
Reputation, yeah, mashallah.
And here you see Shahid Beheshti.
He gave her his reputation.
You know, he could have very easily hands off.
Yeah.
This is too much. You know, people are saying Markbar Beheshti on the streets. But no, he sacrificed for the greater good and the cause.
And after he got martyred, Imam Khomeini said what? Said he mazloom zist fa mazloom mort. He lived under oppression. And he died with oppression.
Yeah.
And in that time, I heard this from my relative, my older relatives. They would say that even us, we believed that it's right, Shahid Beheshti is not a good person. But after his martyrdom, every single one of us, we were crying so hard that we were wrong. So he gave everything. And this is the path of Shahada, to be able to give everything. And this was Shahid Beheshti. His works, his books, his legacy is so important for us.
You know, I think, I'm sorry I kind of cut off your train of thought, but I think his works, I don't know, at least based upon the research that I was doing, a lot of his works are not translated into other languages, which to me is really amazing. So, for example, and it's, I don't know, it's sad because the Shaheed himself spoke so many languages, right? But these languages that he spoke in, you know, the least that, you know, I guess people like myself could have done was to translate his works into these different languages, you know?
I want to say something worse. His works wasn't read enough, even in the Farsi speakers.
Yeah, strange.
No? Even us, we're not fully aware of his ideas and thoughts. I think we needed to do better on that. Maybe because of the greatness of Shahid Mutahhari, sometimes Shahid Beheshti was ignored. But he has some insights in his books that even cannot be found in the Shahid Mutahhari works. It's so important. Yes, inshallah. And that would be great if...
Another individual, for example, Shahid Bahonar.
Bahonar. Yeah.
Right? This is also another individual you know, I mean, we're just coming down the line of people that totally nobody knows anything
about.
Nobody knows anything. You know, and it's like, you know, these were stars of Maktab-e
Mawqif. If we had Hollywood...
You know, and it's really interesting. I want to kind of end on one note, and so we really talked about the academic aspect of Shahid Beheshti, you know, and this writing of books and philosophy and language, and I mean, if you see his pictures where he's smiling, he's very charismatic.
Yeah.
He has a very,
very
beautiful, charming individual. Very, you know, they say in Farsi, Bakilas. Elegant and refined and but incredibly intelligent, right? But I would like you to kind of talk, you know, a little bit towards the end of our talk show, the spiritual aspect of Shahid Beheshti, because he had a very, very strong, you know, spiritual aspect to him, this very arif type, you know, this very ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam. And I mean, if you could talk towards the end of our talk.
He's another person that really found the love of God in Imam Khomeini again. Sayyid, we're just talking and just saying the name of Khomeini. He's greater
than what we can
understand. It's beyond our imagination. I'm not, you know, I don't
it's
want to exaggerate that.
I know,
You know, when I look at his students, like Imam Khomeini, Shahid Beheshti, Shahid Mutahhari, Shahid Chamra, all those martyrs, you know, how great is that spirit that could give all of these people this mentality of...
This power and energy and spirituality.
Energy and spirituality. So, of course, Shahid Beheshti was a student of Allama Tawatawa. He's great. You have Imam Khomeini, Allama Tawatawa, then it's over. You've got everything.
Yeah.
But he again found his spirituality in this social activity. So we don't have, you know, like spiritual stories about Shahid Beheshti, like he did this here, he did that here. No. And we don't need that.
Yeah.
because he found his path through the social activity of Imam Khomeini. But it is said that moments before the martyrdom and that huge explosion by those thugs and tyrants, some of the survivors of that session, they said that moments before that, he would say, "Buye shahadat mi ayat," or "Buye behesht," I can smell
the perfume of shahadat of shahada, heaven
and the heaven. They've got some. You know, if you do for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not remain under the debt of anything, anyone.
Yeah.
If you do anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return it to you. Okay? Yeah. So they did everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the greatness in this life, and more importantly, in the other life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq to be with Him, inshallah, on the day of judgment.
Inshallah. Thank you so much, Sayyid Hashmi, taking time out again. May Allah bless you and yours, and really talking about these illustrious, beautiful stars, these personalities, really nurtured in the school of Imam Khomeini. Individuals such as, you know, Shaheed Beheshti, and inshallah, may Allah help us to learn more about these individuals as we go on. And thank you, Jazakallah, for coming. And thank you so much, dear friends, for joining us on the talk show today. We were talking about Shaheed Beheshti, this beautiful Shaheed with this beautiful life, another one of the beautiful students of Imam Khomeini. That's all from us for now. Inshallah, fi amanillah, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.